You're listening to KXSU News on KXSU 102.1 FM, Seattle University's student-run radio station.
Hi, I'm Michaela Kane, and you're listening to KXSU News. Heading into my first year of college, I, like most of my peers, was feeling pretty clueless with where I was going with my life. I was questioning my major, journalism, for now, and was really hoping to find my passion in one of my three pre-picked U-Cores. And surprisingly, in a way, I did. From the get-go, I was most excited about my creative expression class, intriguingly titled Trouble in Tinder. It was a creative nonfiction class, something new to me, but as someone who's always enjoyed writing, especially creative, I was really looking forward to trying my hand at that craft again after so long of not doing so. And the class was not what I expected in the best way. My professor for the class, Bryn Gribben, assigned a particularly captivating assignment that really caught my attention.
I'm Dr. Bryn Gribben. I'm in the English department. A lot of students come in and they're like, oh, that's really private. And I'm like, well, you don't have to write about it then. But they're like, but that's all I have to write about. And I'm like, well, you know, your choice. So I think validating the fact that being transparent about what they were writing about made the class that much more appealing, instead of it being, oh, I'm going to try to correct what I perceived of as these like beginning writing flaws, like thinking you already knew what you were saying, when really most students are coming in not thinking they're writers and kind of being really pleased to know that there's a forum and a space where they can talk about Trouble and Tinder. And I let them title the class. The new title is from 2 years ago.
On the first day of class, I remember Dr. Gribben telling us that the class was a space where we could bring in any conflict, anything we wanted that we were comfortable with, to explore. When she said that, I immediately knew what I wanted to bring into class to try to understand. It was something that's been really affecting me since I moved away from home, something that's been weighing heavily on my mind and my heart, and something that I was really desperate to understand. I'm adopted, openly, meaning I know my biological family. In fact, I'm really close with them. My biological mom, Mikhail, is one of my best friends. And since moving away from home, I've been experiencing some new, scary emotions that I was finally having the opportunity to explore in a really new way. And a huge component of that exploration was being able to talk about my adoption with someone else who's adopted for the very first time. At this point in the story, I need to introduce you to one of my best friends.
Yeah, so my name is Taj Mercer. I'm from Bend, Oregon. I'm a swimmer on the SU Men's Division I team here. And then I'm also involved in like photography.
Our experiences with adoption are very different. Taj was adopted from Guatemala and never met his biological family. And I was adopted from Southern Idaho, the same state I currently live in, and know all of my biological family. But we resonated so much with one another's stories and experiences in a way that was really impactful for me.
I never have had like a place to like specifically talk about adoption, like openly and kind of like free willingly with like another person. I was raised in like a community where like there's no one who's really adopted, and like there's not very many people of color. So like I'm not able to like really kind of associate myself with people that are adopted or people of color. And so like coming in to like a very warm and welcoming community at SU that's very diverse has been like very heartwarming to me, just because I know that there's like areas that like I feel welcome in, like that aren't at home basically. So after I came in here, I kind of like did the whole thing by myself because there still wasn't really like a place for me to talk about adoption. And then coming into this year, like after being able to like cope with it and like trying to understand like where I wanted to go from it, like I mean last year, like meeting Kaylee and being able to talk about it and just kind of like let the emotions flow was really amazing, and like really kind of felt like I had like an actual place at like in this world, because like I never had another person that like affiliated with like the same type of experience, but also like while our experience in adoption is like similar, it's also like very different in like the ways that we were raised and like the places that we were raised in, but then also like kind of how like being like the soul like connection about like being adopted and then also being people of color and raised in like white communities, that like resonated with us like both like very strongly. And so like now that we've like been able to talk about it a lot, like I feel way more comfortable with like with myself and like asserting like who I am as like a person now.
Talking with Taj gave me the opportunity to articulate feelings that I'd always had, but for the first time was really naming and recognizing, giving space to. I knew immediately that I wanted to write about my adoption in Trouble and Tinder and use writing as a tool to further explore these new feelings that I was just delving into. So I sat down and banged out a draft, but writing the narrative proved a lot harder than I was anticipating because I hadn't accounted for the fact that these feelings were still so new and nebulous that they were really hard to put down on paper, especially in a way that I was satisfied with as a writer. So I went into office hours.
It was a hard thing, I think, initially, because I thought, you know, I want to help her tell the story she wants to tell, but also I don't know that she has anything she needs to figure out. I got a sense of you as a writer and the fact that you could articulate things that you wanted to do, but also you saw your limitations. I felt confident saying, well, then it sounds like the problem is about writing, and maybe this is a chance for you to grow in terms of how you understand yourself as a writer. And I think it'd probably be super good for her in her fall quarter freshman year to like unpack her bag of tricks and think about where to become more flexible.
In reading the draft, I was able to recognize that I simply wasn't capable of writing about these feelings, at least not in that way. Dr. Gribben gave me the idea to approach the story from another angle. She advised that I write a meta piece talking about how hard it was to write the story. And in writing about writing, I was able to put the weight of my emotions on another object, on my writing skills. And by doing so, I was able to talk about the story through a metaphorical veil that enabled so much more exploration and truthful writing. After hours in editing and rewriting, the story still doesn't feel perfect to me, but it's so much better than where I initially started trying to describe these feelings. I want to read a few excerpts for you now. Now I'm staring this essay in the face, in a matador and eyeball. For hours I sit, backspacing and rephrasing and tapping at my temple with my pen. I change the song again and again. I boil a cup of tea. I shift in my chair, my laptop nestled in uncomfortable permanence like a prosthetic appendage. And the longer we sit together, the more resentful we both become of one another. We're locked into a bitter game of chicken to see who will submit first, who will be forced to confess their truth. My cursor blinks tauntingly now, like a boxer shuffling about the ring waiting for their opponent to try to throw a punch. I'm desperate for the story at this point. Around me, pages of notes spill over my desk, inscribed with empty symbols and trivial metaphors. My tea's gone cold. I imagine the sounds of my keys clicking away are the footfalls of someone running about a maze, frantically seeking the way out. Writing has always been a tool I can use to glean meaning from my experience, a chisel I can use to sculpt art from the slab of my pain. For the first time, it failed me. Reading my words over, my story feels inexplicably off, my own narrative out of place in my voice. The one tool I use to make sense of myself, that makes me feel vibrant and creative and connected, won't help me this time. I used to believe that any problem I had could be conquered with a deliberate rewrite. My imagery transformed painful situations into compelling narratives, packaging all my hurt into a compact literary kernel to be sewn in my syntax. But this time, the conflict boiling up within me escapes my words. I don't have the vocabulary to articulate my quiet suffering, nor the wisdom to name it, even to myself. I'm unsure what to do with the draft. Though it doesn't feel like my own, it seems to have some remote merit. It's not mine, but I hold it with tenderness, without resentment. I'm not capable of telling the story right now, but I trust it'll come to me when we're both ready.
I was able to kind of like see it perfectly, and like I don't know if I can even like explain it because it's like a lot, but in the end, I know for me, just because I've been like affected by this my whole life, like I was like, yes, like this is how like I truly feel.
I thought what I noticed was that this is a woman who's going to move into a new phase of her life because she's done so much work to figure out this narrative, and her family's been there helping her, and Mikhail's been there helping her, that part of what might be the block is simply trying to figure out what to do next with that information. So that's what I got, is that she shifted into another way of being a writer, and that she is in writing for the long haul.
When we first like talked, I could tell there was like so much going on in your head, and like so much that you wanted to talk about, and like all of it just kind of like exploded at once, and like that was really good. But like after reading your essay, like I feel like that you're able to like be able to kind of understand yourself way more now that we've like been able to talk about it and like break down those barriers. And like I think like more importantly, you're able to like figure out who you are like as a person more after like being able to just express everything like through this essay and like through our conversations.
There's actually like a singer, Dar Williams, who was like a 90s folk singer, and she has a song about therapy where one of the lines is, "And oh, how much I loved everybody else when I finally got a chance to talk so much about myself." And I think that I have seen this class be so healing for some people, where they're like, I didn't even know I was still bothered by that.
The word healing feels like a good descriptor of what trouble in Tinder was for me in exploring my adoption. Writing had always been a really useful tool for me in navigating my own emotions, but this time was different, and this challenge, both as a writer and as a daughter, forced me to grow in a multitude of ways. I'm Mikaylee Kane with KXSU. Thanks for tuning in.
Hi, I'm Sedona, and you're listening to KXSU News. I just wanted to tell a short story today about the time I almost drowned. Because of the possibly sensitive nature of this story, I do want to give a trigger warning. This story contains descriptions of drowning in a lake. It is not graphic, but if that sort of thing bothers you, tune back in after about 5 or 6 minutes. This story is funny to me now, not scary or harrowing, but at the time, I was definitely more frightened than I ever have been. My mom is from a small town in Ohio called Tiffin. She used to frequently tell me about how she was one of 5 Lindas that were in the same class since kindergarten. She is still in contact with all of them to this day, almost 55 years later. One of these friends, Linda V, lives in a big house on the shores of Lake Erie, where we went to visit her and her 2 kids in their 20s, a daughter and a son. I was only 8, but I was a very strong swimmer, a certified junior lifeguard. I had absolutely no qualms about being on a lake, as I knew I could easily swim to shore. I was so excited to go out on the lake with my brother, Linda, and her kids, and I was having a lot of fun. My mother was watching from the shore, as she is deathly afraid of water and hates going on boats. My brother was having a blast, water skiing with Linda's older children. However, I knew water skiing was where I drew the line. I did not want to water ski. Not at all. I had a bad feeling about it. It didn't seem safe to me. Perhaps for the same reason roller coasters don't seem safe to me. But my brother said that it was easily the most fun he's had in his life, and thus I felt more inclined to go. And all of the cool older kids were doing it. They were all trying to persuade me, insisting that it was perfectly safe. So I finally gave in. I reluctantly strapped on the straps of the skis, put on my goggles, and got in the water behind the boat. I admit it, for the first 2 minutes, the water skiing was really fun, but only for the first 2 minutes. After those 2 minutes, the situation went awry very quickly. My goggles, started slipping down my face and slowly covering my eyes. I could not see at all. So I started yelling that I wanted to stop, begging for the people on the boat to tell me what to do as the panic started building up inside me. Everyone in the boat was yelling back, "If you want to stop, just let go." So I let go. Immediately, I knew that this was a mistake. A big mistake. I flew backwards, my goggles finally being freed from my face and landing in the deep waters. My eyes were quickly exposed to the water, and I still couldn't see. I was thrashing around, wondering why I was sinking, when I realized, with the horror slowly sinking into my mind, that my ski was caught under my life jacket. This caused the vest to work against me, the combined weight of me, the ski, and the jacket now all pulling me under. It didn't matter how strong of a swimmer I was sinking very quickly. I frantically struggled to free my ski, but the angle was too difficult, and my attempts were no use. Just a valuable waste of my energy. I paddled, attempting to get to the surface. I knew panicking was just going to drown me quicker, so I pushed my emotions down, attempting to propel myself up. But once again, this was no use. I was sinking even quicker than before, my lungs slowly filling up with water as my body's basic instincts wouldn't allow me to hold my breath anymore, forcing me to take in water, attempting to get air. I was screaming underwater, wondering why no one had noticed that I was dying yet. As the world around me started to fade away, I felt someone pulling me out. Then I lost consciousness. Once I was back up on the boat, I was shaken and resuscitated until I was spluttering and coughing water onto the deck. Linda V's daughter, Gina, had jumped into the water and grabbed me before I had sunk too far, saving my life. After a few minutes of panicking, realizing that by pressuring me into water skiing, they could have straight up murdered me, the boat, with me safely on board, returned to the shore. My mother was screaming and crying with joy to see my safe return as she was forced to watch her biggest fears realized from the dock. She was very grateful to have me back, while I was equally as happy just to be alive. I will likely never water ski or swim in a lake ever again. And a word of advice for all of you listening, please don't water ski with goggles, because that really was the main problem. And that's the story of the time I almost drowned. I have been Sedona, and you're listening to KXSU News.
You are listening to KXSU News, and I'm Chevy Mara. Alright folks, it seems like you've mostly known me as a news personality during the afternoon drive. So I thought, why not jazz it up and share a little bit about me? So, my name is Chevy, and I'm from India. I come from a small family of three. My mom, my brother, and me, and they are my best friends. I grew up eating a lot of spicy street food, and I love my mom's home-cooked Indian cuisine because they're prepared with just equal parts of salt, spice, and love. At home, I love to watch Indian shows because they're filled with lots of drama, tears, and romance. I also watch a lot of Bollywood movies because they're almost like musicals where there's music and dances after every 20 minutes. And considering they're about 3 hours long, that's a lot of music, drama, dance moves, and romance. Up until the age of almost 19, I'd only seen the US in movies. When I moved here 3 years ago, it was as if all my Hollywood movies came to life. I was very excited and wanted to explore all of the states, and at that time I didn't know that there are 50 in total. Wow. India has only 29. That makes the US a huge country, and every city I went to, it almost felt like a state. I'd never experienced an ocean before, but I'm lucky to be living in a city of Seattle surrounded by water, so I was very excited to go to Alki Beach and see the ocean. That was also my first time seeing the beach. Interestingly enough, the lakes here are so vastly huge that they almost look like a sea. Another thing that I found different from home is that people feel comfortable exposing a lot of skin. So much that I've seen some guys riding a bike with bare chest. That was unlikely because when it came to Western clothing in India, I mostly wore jeans and covered tops. Also, in the beginning, I would feel weird when people held hands in public because that was just not common at home. Couples physically expressing love in front of their families is a big no-no. What I also found interesting is how people greet each other by asking, "Hey, how's it going?" Now, I didn't know that it was meant more like a statement. So here I am, walking across the campus, and someone asked me, "Hey, how's it going?" And I stopped to literally respond to the question until the acquaintance continued to walk. That day, I learned my lesson. That "how's it going?" means just a hello with no literal response. So you see, I've had awkward, funny, weird, and interesting conversations and experiences. Now you know a little bit about me. This is KXSU News, and I'm Chevy Mehra.